Welcome to On the Up and Up. I'm your host, Kira LaForgia, and every week I'm bringing you behind the scenes of running a successful business. Join me while we laugh, learn, and connect on mostly HR inappropriate topics with successful founders, diverse leaders, and kick-ass employees. It's true, your HR lady may have fired your bestie or made you sign a love contract, but we also have all the hot gossip that will make you better at your job. Whether you're on your way up the corporate ladder, are a fellow HR villain, or are building a culture as a rising entrepreneur.
Okay, so welcome back to On the Up and Up. We have our crowd favorite, Lawyer Kelly, here with us, and we're going to talk about what we think is the most important thing in the world at the moment, which is pop culture news that intersects HR and law. And so I want to just like do a really quick introduction of Kelly, but I think she's been on like three or four times talking through some of our passions. So if you're interested in learning more about her, there's other episodes that we'll link to so that you can dive in. But Kelly, give us a brief overview of why you're uniquely qualified to talk to me about this drama today.
Sure. So I am a lawyer and I have a law firm for small businesses. I help mostly with contracts and trademarks, and I live in Nashville. So obviously, you know, that ties me into pop culture and like entertainment industry. And also I am, you know, chronically online, so that helps too.
Yeah. We went off and accidentally like talked for a really long time catching up because it's been a little bit since we recorded, but I feel like it's just so refreshing to have an attorney that like you can just talk to about normal things and they really understand your business, especially as a small business owner. So you can learn more about what Kelly does, but I think it's important that not only can you relate on like your business stuff, but also just normal stuff. So you can like really be yourself and being vulnerable. You know, we have a lot of legal partners, but I think there's always like a specific match that I'll make with Kelly where I know that they're going to have a lot of fun and you can be vulnerable with your lawyer and not feel judged. So especially if you're looking for someone like that, that can help you with more than just your normal, like checking things off a list, but also to get like really good advice, go to Kelly. But we're here to talk about something more important than the livelihoods of our lives and our businesses. And that is Justin Baldoni and Blake Lively. So we're going to kick off and just have Kelly kind of walk us through a little bit of the timeline. We haven't dove too deep into all this, which I think gives us an opportunity to kind of have like a high level overview and then talk a little bit about how that intersects with our professions and what we can learn from it, not only just as citizens of the world, but also as business owners. So give us the high level, the timeline, where we're at now, and then we'll just kind of dig in.
Yes. So the film It Ends With Us was released back in August. And we kind of noticed in the press, you know, that there was maybe some things going on between Justin and Blake, and maybe all was not well over there. And then in December, Blake Lively filed a complaint with the California Civil Rights Department. Basically, this is a necessary first step before you're allowed to file a federal lawsuit. And it would be a federal lawsuit because it has to do with employment law, which a lot of that falls under federal law versus state law. So she had to do this in California first in order to be able to file the federal suit, which she then did. And that is related, that suit and that complaint is what we saw come out in the New York Times article back in December. And that her complaint was essentially against Justin Baldoni and also his studio and his PR team and some others for sexual harassment, retaliation, failure to prevent and or remedy harassment and more. And that's also where we saw all of those text messages via Justin, his team, his PR team, all that kind of stuff. And then in January, he filed a countersuit against Blake Lively and also her husband, Ryan Reynolds, for $400 million. And he alleged defamation, civil extortion, breach of contract, all of that. And he basically put out his own narrative of the situation at that time. And also he added some additional texts and things like that. And then obviously since then, we've seen some other things, both in court with them each asking the judge for things, like Blake asking for submitting letters, basically asking it not to become a, you know, public, a lawsuit that's like handled in the public eye, essentially. And then him, you know, leaking some things like a video clip and things like that. So that's kind of where we are with that.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's kind of like one of those things where we don't, at least where I've kind of landed with this, is that it both parties just seem like kind of giving me the ick, like it, with the, like, for lack of a better term, like it doesn't really feel like it's really productive to like take one side or the other, but like depending on like what your values are and things like that, like you can still have like an exorbitant amount of empathy for someone that was a victim of sexual harassment while still at the same time understanding where that may have gotten confused. My issue with all of this, and I was talking to my team about this earlier today, it's just like, I feel like the public accusation for Blake Lively is that she's kind of a mean girl bitch. And the public accusation for Justin Baldoni is that he's like a wolf in sheep's clothing that's sexually harassing and exploiting women for money. And so I feel like even if both of those things were proven to be 100% true, I still feel like Justin Baldoni is the bigger ick. So like, I just want to kind of state my bias ahead of time, because I don't really think anybody's coming out in like a positive light in any of this situation, but it does sort of feel like there is so many parallels between like how women are treated in the public eye versus how men are treated in the public eye, even though men are obviously trash. So I'm just kidding. But like, this kind of man really scares me, because it's like, you don't know what you're getting, and you like, who do you trust and how do you trust them? And I just think that going into this movie, there was a lot of speculation about, or a lot of talk about who this person is and the public persona that he was presenting, and how it feels very calculated and really like put together in a place that this movie and the title or the subject matter of the movie was meant to bolster his reputation in a certain way. And he wanted to really, I don't want to say weaponize, because that's like a biased term, but kind of weaponize the messaging of the movie overall in his personal, the interest of his personal brand. And I just like, don't like that feeling. Like, we already can't trust anyone, so like then it sucks when they start to weaponize these things against us in a way that feels so blatant. I don't know, what do you think about that?
I think a lot of people are giving Justin a lot of grace for certain things that he did, but not really willing to give Blake any grace, and just using things that, whether it's comments she made when, you know, marketing the film, or things from her past, they're taking that as reasons to not take her side. And listen, like, no one, you don't need to be a perfect like victim to have been sexually harassed or, you know, any other thing as well. And I think like, even when talking about, you know, what we're talking about now and like saying like Justin is the bigger ick, like, which I agree, my bias is him. But that doesn't mean that I think like Blake is this perfect person and I worship her or anything like that. Like, she could have done some crappy things and also still have gotten sexually harassed at work, you know, like both things can be true. And I think a lot of people are just missing that point and just pointing at her past behavior. But giving grace for, you know, all the texts that are, you know, clear evidence of what he said he wanted to, you know, do to Blake, like, you know, the smear campaign and all of that. He said he wanted to bury her, all of that. They're giving him grace, but not willing to give her any. And I think that is, you know, just shows how quickly people will jump to defend a man, or, you know, to hang on to any evidence they can to further support why they shouldn't support a woman.
Yeah, it's hard because there's so, and then also at the same time, like, you would have to be blind to not understand that the messaging that is shaping our bias is planted. So part of me is like, don't hang on too tight to your opinion, because somebody put it there. Like, right. We're brainwashed. Like, that's what I think, one of the scariest things about, I mean, this is a bigger cultural conversation, but like, if we, what we're trying to do today is talk about what happened, how it's presented, the storytelling that's going on both sides, and what we can learn from it. And as a person that generally wants to believe women, which I think a lot of our audience would want to do, you can still believe that. Like, it's kind of that same argument of like, she asked for it because of what she was wearing. Like, come on. Like, are we past that yet? It also reminds me a lot of, I felt I was kind of alone in this at the time, but it does remind me a lot of like the Amber Heard, Johnny Depp thing. Yeah. Like, I was like, I understand that she's not like a perfect person, but like, that doesn't mean that what, like the power dynamic and things like that, that were going on in their relationship are not something to consider as a kind of motor behind actions that are taken by the woman or the person that doesn't have as much power in the relationship. So it's right. Like, we have to, you have to understand that like the power dynamic begets additional behaviors as a cause. And the power dynamic is the responsibility of the employer to neutralize. So right. If he's considered an employer or a leader in this situation, it's his responsibility to neutralize any type of power dynamic that may be creating situations that beget shitty work environments, sexual harassment, feeling sexually harassed, you know, things like that. So I do think it's interesting that people jump ship so quickly, but I also would like to think that most of the people that we're seeing jumping ship are also planted there, because I don't think that all this information is real. They're literally telling us a lot of the stuff you've seen is fake anyway. So whose side are you on now that all this other stuff has come out? It's like, I don't know. It was all fake in the first place. Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think, you know, people are very quick to read a story from one side and automatically believe it. And that's what we have to remember, too. Like, complaints are allegations of fact. They're not necessarily, you know, they're always going to be one-sided. Blake's one-sided for her. Justin's one-sided for him. And so, you know, we'll see more and more come out. And obviously, it doesn't mean every single thing is true or not true. It just means that, you know, there are certain things that you can take as actual evidence, like the text messages in both of their suits and things like that. But their storytelling in it, you can't automatically take that as like a fact. That is the way that they are, you know, how they perceived it and how they're sharing their side of things. So I think, you know, we have to think about that too. And like, you know, certain things came out in his texts, obviously, that don't look great for Blake. You know, she looks cringy in them. I'm not going to lie. Some of those texts, you're like, that's weird to say. But I don't think necessarily that a lot of the things that came out there necessarily disprove her the texts that she included, you know, especially when it comes to like retaliation.
Mm-hmm. And that's one thing we talk about all the time is in small business, in HR, in work environments, in any situation, social situation, retaliation isn't obviously illegal, but in something like this, it does carry a weight of legality. And in a work environment, in order to create a safe space, people have to be able to come forward in an uneven power dynamic. Literally, they work for someone else without fear of being retaliated against. So a lot of, you know, I see small business owners make this mistake all the time where they're like, well, I can have them do whatever I want. They're my employee. So I can also have them not be able to do this, this, and this. And it's like, well, those things can be considered retaliatory if they're bringing something up to your attention. So like, let's say you work in a physical environment, someone brings you a complaint about the work environment being unsafe or unsanitary or something like that. If you were to then, you know, all of a sudden find a reason to write them up or to cut their hours or to take away their autonomy in their job or to have them have any type of something that they can perceive as punishment, that could be seen as retaliation for essentially whistleblowing. And so there's a lot on a small scale, this happens all the time. And it's very unintentional on the side of business owners. And so I think this is a really good example of how that can like pile on top of each other. And the truth of the matter is that the person that's responsible for creating the safety is the person that's the higher level of the power dynamic. And the fact that Blake has the fame and platform to even say anything at all is very unusual that someone could come back and say, actually, no, I'm going to stand up for what I believe in and what happened to me and my perception of the harassment that happened. And a lot of times this happens in business environments where most people, including friends of mine, will be like, well, I got fired and like, it's not worth my time or I don't have any resources and whatever. It's better for me to just go get another job. And that's not fair, and it not only is it bad business practices, but it's also completely illegal, and it needs to be enforced to the highest extent of the law for businesses and for the individuals that are actually doing the doing of the harm. What do you think on the Blake side has been, let's just like lighten it up a little bit, but like, what do you think on the Blake side of things has been the most like, well, I don't know if I'm going to be able to come back from that one for you?
For Blake, I think, I don't really think that there is anything that's like, oh, I can't come back. I think some of it definitely made her look bad, made her look cringy. Also, made her look like, was it that serious? Was it not? Certain things, I don't know. But I don't think anything that I saw coming out of his side was enough for me to be like, oh, that disproves her claims, it definitely made me be like, ooh, that's that text wasn't a good look, or I wish like this timeline of like events was a little more clear in that, like, did this happen, did it not, if it was on maybe a different timeline, maybe it'd be easier to be like, oh, it definitely happened then. As far as like when they were things that they laid out in both of their sides, as far as timeline of like filming, and then, they stopped filming, I think, because of the strike, and then like they picked up, and then when their relationship seemed to like take a turn, I think that timeline is a little like, maybe it could be better to support her than it looks. But I don't think I've seen anything where I'm like, oh, that's like enough to be like, oh, I'm not on her side. And, not that I'm fully like, oh, she's great and he's awful, 100% great and he's 100% bad. I think, it's more in the middle on both of them. But yeah, I haven't seen anything that I'm like, oh, this definitely disproves her claims.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting too, because if you think back to like when we were all going and seeing the movie and like kind of the PR tour that was coming out, we were all kind of like, okay, that's weird. And then things started to get kind of uncovered. And then it started to like, I feel like there's always like a little bit like the smoke, when there's smoke, there's fire. And then a lot of times we're like, when there's smoke, there's fire, but then nothing, it's always just smoke and there's no fire. But then like James Kennedy comes to mind. And then eventually there's a fire. And I feel like it just kind of like kept kindling up. And to me, it felt like all of that should have been, it felt egotistical when you look back on that PR tour and the actions that were taken in like public, in the public on behalf of Justin, because it all, to me, like the way that she was presenting the movie, which has now been told that that is the way that Sony wanted her to do it and how they wanted to promote it, felt like he was saying, okay, great, she did all this stuff, again, from the even higher power dynamic than him, but I'm going to use it against her to like make, to uplift myself. And that is literally a form of abuse. Whereas yeah. Like, if he should have just let it go and let this be done and not planting all these stories about his reputation, then we probably wouldn't still be talking about it, which kind of shows me that the ego was more important than like the actual overarching message of the movie, which is in direct conflict of his whole entire purpose of doing all this.
Right. And I think you can see that too, at least in my opinion, from like the audio clip that he chose to release. I didn't listen to the whole thing, honestly, because it was so cringy. I like couldn't, in my opinion. Yeah. But I think that shows too, like his ego and like wanting to even release that, because to me, that clip makes him look bad. Because also you have to look at it in exactly what you're saying before, in that power dynamic that they have. And I think it was like a 2 a.m. voice memo that he was sending her or whatever. Like, they're not like, oh, they're BFFs, whatever. Like, maybe they were, it doesn't matter though. That doesn't matter, because there's still a power dynamic of employer employee. And like, it's his responsibility to like enforce that. And, I think we've talked about this in some other situations too, with like, I think on a prior podcast, we might've brought up like Lizzo and her dancers and her relationship there, and like going to, maybe they were like going to a club or something, like that's on her, like to, be the employer and make those decisions about like, maybe I shouldn't do something because it might be put me in a position that like doesn't look great as an employee employer. And like, so again, like this clip, like that's on him. Like, he's is the higher power dynamic when it comes to employer employee. So, a 2 a.m. clip that's like cringy and whatever, like that's not a like, oh, your friend sent you this clip, let's analyze it. It's a your employer sends you this clip, let's analyze it.
Yeah. And like, if someone is to bring some, which I love it, send me all of your recordings of your employer. Like, I love listening to those. But if there's ever a situation where someone is providing a recording that's intentionally made in the interest of their own defense, it kind of reduces the validity behind maybe the message they were trying to portray. Like, even though he wasn't necessarily nailing the message, it's still kind of like, as an employer, if I mess up or if I feel like I overdid something or if I feel like I went into the wrong territory, like, it's okay for you to make a mistake. But if you're sending over a recorded message, as an employer, that that is something that could be brought up later. So it kind of just shows us his mindset a little bit more, especially because by at that point they're on shaky ground and he's playing the CYA game. Like, he's covering his ass and trying to figure out what he can get out there that is going to be proving his story and narrative over the long term. And it just felt so curated and like fake, which is, I think, our problem with him in the first place. Like, it's just such an interesting, like, he's telling on himself all the time. Like, he's like, oh, I have a podcast about women empowerment. And then he's like, let me record like a verbatim thing that somebody should say. He's like an AI human at this point that's like extremely hot, but I still wouldn't be interested.
Yeah. Right, though.
It's just like so curated in a way that's like, oh, did you talk to somebody that has some like baseline knowledge of employment law? And then they advise that you send something like this so that you could get it on the record, but without knowing like the overall like inner workings of how something like this might shake out, like you would know that that was a way to be exposed. That's why when our clients get themselves into hot water, we're like, shut up, like,
Yeah, exactly. And
stop
don't be sending
talking,
this at
don't make
like
it
two
weird.
a.m. and like say what he said that can be insinuated and like perceived a different way.
There was something you said earlier about like being a perfect victim. And I think that this is sort of a really good example of that. And also, like, if we can all just agree that society does treat women differently than men, then how would that skew like the scorecard here? Because I think that in some cases, people are looking at this as two equal parts. And they're like, well, Blake's like, obviously, this was all her fault because she was asking for it because she didn't show up to the meeting with the intimacy coordinator. But it's like, no, the person that was in charge of making her show up to that meeting didn't do his job. So, like, actually, there's nothing there to base this accusation on. So, I liked how you said that about the like being a perfect victim. Can you talk more about that from like a legal perspective and how the legal system prevents bias from coming into play, if any, on behalf of women?
I think it probably does not do a good job at that. I think along with society, I think a lot of times, it's not always like the what should happen, like it's not what happens should is not always what should happen when it comes to both like the court of law side of things and also like court of public opinion side of things. But I think, certain things are done in a way to try to limit the bias, like certain things, like Blake asking the court to keep certain things in the court versus coming out in the public. Like he wanted to make his website. So trying to like limit the bias from that, because obviously, like if this goes to trial, you don't want all of the jurors to have already seen this like smear website of all of this stuff. So I think there are certain things there like that, certain rules and also certain ethical rules, which is really what Blake was saying. She wants the Justin's lawyer to play by the ethical rules of like, trying this in the court of law and not all simultaneously the court of public opinion, which ju is what Justin clearly is trying to do. So I think there are certain rules and like stuff set up that way to try to limit and reduce that. But I think it's hard also when parties have a lot of money. And, like, because if this was like us, or small businesses, like it would never have gotten to this stage, most likely, because, we wouldn't have the money to like be fighting it out like this, and this, publicized obviously as well. So, I think that plays into it as well, how much money they have and their like level of fame and popularity. And so sometimes that, just goes against women, because ultimately it's like women that end up being silenced more often, just because obviously it's more prevalent for women to go through this.
Yeah, and I think it's really important to acknowledge that, like, in this is the result of a patriarchal society. It's not that some man is mean to you. It's that you don't really get to play on the same fairness field in a patriarchal society. This is a societal systemic issue across the board that is already at play before any of this ever happens. And especially when it comes to capitalism, the laws have tried to create, the labor laws have tried to create a place where workers have a right to work. A lot of the laws that we deal with come back to you have a right to work to make a living because that is the capitalistic society that we're in. And the laws are in place to help to bolster that chance for the average person. And there have been, we could probably have another conversation about like the attack against the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission and how that's supposed to be a resource for the regular people and how that's being defunded to the extent of not having people in charge of it that are actually having the back of the people that it was created for. But when you do have money, it shows that there is a real systemic issue across the board because it doesn't matter how much money you have, you're still a victim to the implications of the patriarchy, which is why it needs to go. Another thing I'm mad about is why did Taylor have to get brought into this? Like,
And why did they think that that was a good idea for their side, Justin's side? Like, have you seen her track record? When has anyone said anything negative against her and come out as the winner?
no, like, no. I know your $400 million lawsuit makes you feel really good because that's how much you think you're worth in the moment, but she's still worth more than you in actuality. So, like, obviously, she could crush you or her team could if they needed to. But I think the point of it is that this is not about who Blake is friends with or who she's married to. Can we talk a little bit about the overlap between how Ryan got involved? Because I'm not 100% clear. Except for, like, I would love to talk about the Deadpool stuff because it's hilarious.
Oh my God, I know that is actually so funny.
So
But
funny.
I guess some of it got involved, started to get involved because he, I guess, was involved a little bit with the rewrite and also present, I guess, when Justin came around, regarding the rewrite. And so I think that is how, some of it happened. And then also, obviously, some of it, I think, is like her relaying information and then, being there for her, like within her, demands of wanting, certain things before like resuming. But oh my God, yeah, the Deadpool stuff, that is funny.
So funny. Like the deleted scenes. If you haven't watched or looked it up, like look up some videos about like Deadpool's like basically commentary on Justin Baldoni as Kind Pool is I think that was Nice Pool.
Nice pool.
Like so ridiculous. I mean, there are so many things hidden in there that I think show you the conversations that were going on behind the scenes when, both of these movies were kind of being made simultaneously and I don't know that there was ever an intention that this would all go public or if it was just kind of like a ha ha LOL between us because we're trying to cope with this horrible thing that happened to you as my wife or whatever. But I do think that it's interesting that it's like, I just think it's funny that Justin is like bringing him into it, not knowing that there are all these Easter eggs that are totally like not helping,
Yeah, I feel like it probably was all done thinking like, oh, this is not all stuff that's going to become public. And then, it was like inside joke kind of thing for us. And then now it's public knowledge.
Yeah. It's funny to me too because I feel like that character in Deadpool was a little bit like he's kind of annoying, but generally like no, he wasn't like the enemy or anything. So I feel like even when that movie was being made, it wasn't as heavy of a topic as it turned into, which kind of shows us that there was like some stuff going on behind the scenes that was really unfortunate. But I do think that Blake was motivated by the smear campaign to talk about what really happened. And I think that that gives us a really good example of people will stay quiet until they're backed into a corner. And then they're like, actually, let me tell you how I've been attacked. And we don't want that in an employment setting at all. You don't want people stacking up stuff about you. It's one thing to bitch about your coworker to your husband, who then also puts it in a movie to make you laugh, and another to be like, okay, you want to take down my entire career and my reputation? Like, let's talk about what's really been going on. And that's kind of the vibe that I got from it. It doesn't feel as curated from her side.
Yeah, I think I agree. I think it was just like, you know, he meant just for like him and Blake to kind of like know what was going on. And then I think, because I think if I recall, a lot of the texts from his PR, you know, his publicist and whatever, between each other and between him and stuff, were, you know, right around the time of the movie release, which was obviously like, this was already recorded, like, you know, Ryan had already recorded this, whatever. So I think that definitely, like, you know, I think she might have been like, you know, we'll handle this either privately or like forget about it or, you know, whatever. And then I think a lot of those texts probably pushed this to be public because of, you know, everything that that came out from those texts and the smear campaign and all of that. And like, any business owner, tell me you would not feel the same way, that like you would feel personally attacked and like want to do something as well. Like, I know they would, because I see business owners come to me all the time saying like, oh, this person copied me. And even if sometimes it was like unintentionally, like they copied a name or something, not even knowing them, and they feel so personally attacked. And sometimes I'm like, they didn't even mean to do that. Like, so you can't tell me that if you feel personally attacked right like that, you're not going to then be like, really, you're coming for me and you did this already and you wanted me to be quiet? Now I'm not going to.
Yeah. And I just feel like we have to, like, when, if people want to be like, okay, let's look at this in a vacuum as one situation, we can do that. But I think that the systemic patterns that we see alongside, we already know about the Me Too movement and how this is different in from like our small businesses to the entertainment, you know, the entertainment industry. We already know that those, especially if you're, you know, like, I don't want to like say what political side you're on, but if you're on the side of us, then you accept that the Me Too movement is based in fact. And you've heard enough of women's stories to know that this is not somebody just going out and making stuff up. Like, there is a basis of fact for the oppression of women in this industry. And I'm not saying that Justin Baldoni is like a terrible person, although annoying is something I will stand on, but I can't imagine that he's also been influenced by a system that has been in favor of him being in the power, in the seat of power. So mm-hmm. I do think, just like any employer kind of might get into a situation where they're like, yeah, I did say that. Was I not supposed to? Maybe it started out like that, but I feel like the vicious, like if it was just what happened when the movie was being filmed, first of all, I don't think it would have come out, because I think women are just kind of trained to like, let it roll off our back. We have to deal with it all the time. But then if you try to take someone down, that vicious PR campaign, those texts in and of themselves were just disgusting. And like, I just don't know how someone could look at those texts and be like, Justin comes out on top. Like, I can see how maybe somebody might be like so biased that they're like, oh, they're both horrible, which is sort of my,
yeah.
They live on another planet. Like, the things Blake thinks are normal are on another planet. You know, like she's been treated differently than us from the day she was born. Like, there's no, it's not, we can't possibly understand her paradigm of the world. But I do think that it's more intentionally vicious on his side. And I think that sucks when you're already kind of starting a little bit at it as a disadvantage as a female actress.
Yeah, I definitely agree. It's gonna be interesting to see how it plays out, but I do think that it is really like, it's just sad to see a lot of so much support of Justin. And it's just showing like our society is like not moved an inch.
Yeah. And all, I was like surprised about that because I was like, I thought we all just kind of agreed that this was a mess.
Yeah.
Like, anybody's writing for this guy. Like, ew. Like, do you
Yeah.
not remember the text they happened 5 minutes ago?
Right. It's like, oh,
Like,
you got that already?
yeah. And I think his podcast, like, co-host of his podcast has like removed herself from
Yeah, she
art.
did.
Like, she's like, I mean, to me, it feels like you can be a partner or have a relationship with someone that's a friend, whatever, and then they could do something bad and you can kind of overlook it. But it kind of, I feel like it kind of takes a lot to be like, I'm not, like, kind of done with you. Like, this was not it. Like, she must have seen the signs along the way.
Yeah, probably.
So what do you think are some of the outcomes that might, like, what, let's talk about like some of the ways that our daily life or things might be affected by what could happen as a result of these proceedings. Like, what do you think could be some of those impacts? Because one of them's in California, one of them's in New York. Like, why is that? You already talked about California, but like, why, what was the strategy behind doing this other thing in New York? Like, that kind of stuff feels weird to me too.
Well, her federal suit was in New York.
Okay.
So I don't know. There could be a number of reasons for that. I'm not really sure
And
about
his suit is, was that
York.
also in New York?
I think so. Yeah, I think it was because I think some of them are potentially getting consolidated, like the various different suits. That way they're not like all over the place as far as like judges and stuff like that. So yeah, but yeah, so I don't really know the strategy behind like picking New York, and maybe someone who, files more federal suits would know more about like why picking, where. It could also be based on like their locations possibly. And California could have been because that's where I assume filming took place. Versus New York, maybe where they like have home bases, or one or the other of them do, maybe. But yeah, so I think now I forgot your question.
Yeah, because I feel, well, we're talking about like the repercussions of being in one state versus another. I wonder if like the is like the judges or they're going to try those if they get there, I guess they're going to try those cases in New York. So does that generally mean that they're going to have judges that are going to be on, it just doesn't feel like either of them are going to benefit from that. I don't know.
Well, that I don't think really matters. Cause, well, I mean, it's still going to be like a federal judge. And we'll see. I think we'll see what happens more as like more court dates are set and everything. And I know things keep getting filed, and I think that they did actually set a somewhat soon trial date, which was like in March for one of them, which is like oh no, March of next year. But it's still kind of quick for federal court because, there's still like the whole discovery stage and all of that. And typically cases take a couple of years just because courts are backed up and they kind of go slow. But that could be a reason too. Maybe they like wanted to expedite this because of, all the everything going on in the public as well. And obviously also have to point out that like both of them have the funds to pay for, the top lawyers that probably do this tons and tons of times and stuff, choosing, where to file and like what to do and all of that kind of stuff. So yeah, I think we'll see, what comes out of it. I would hope that like we don't see what happens. Hopefully they like can settle, like stop doing this and settle privately. Like the nosy part of me obviously doesn't want that because, like we love the drama.
Right.
We love a mess, regardless what kind of mess. As long as we're not involved, we love to watch the mess. But like from, every other standpoint, really, like it would be better if they settled this privately and we didn't have to see how this plays out, but both from like a legal perspective, because we are seeing things where it's like, oh, we're questioning, is Justin Baldoni's lawyer, like, what is he doing? Is he, like just certain things where, I said, I think I mentioned before about how like it's questionable with like some of the things, you know, doing in the PR of like questionable ethics and stuff. And then also from the perspective of like just society in general, like there's been fairly constant updates, you know, over the last like month and a half about this. And it's like, how much can we take this for another year of like all this, you know, fighting, like social media fighting and like opinions and stuff? Because I do think it sets women back when we constantly see people going so hard for Justin. So I don't think that would be good to continue that.
Yeah. I mean, it's just weird because there's no, it's like a lose-lose for both sides. And of course, like our brains want to see the end of something that's been like brought up, but I think it's like pretty clear, like there's probably not that much more information out there and the layers have already been presented, which I think is an interesting place to be. Like a lot of times I feel like they shut down like public stuff so soon that we have to play a lot of guessing games where we get it. Like we get it. We know what happened. We see what happened. We get it. We know like how this kind of shook out. Like deciding the fault is not for us to do, but at the same time, it's kind of like, what else could possibly come out? You know, at this point, I feel like they showed all their cards and you can kind of sort through the information and then pick. And I think that's what sucks about seeing that people aren't as torn and it's going in like kind of the more harmful against women way, because it's like, we have all the information that's telling us all the reasons that she should get the benefit of the doubt. She's the one asking for the gag order, not because, or whatever it's called, I don't know. Not because she's guilty, but because this is just going to keep dragging her down and she has movies coming out and other projects that she's working on. And that's not fair to her career. Like, go ahead and try to get another Jane the Virgin, Justin Baldoni, and like record your podcast. You're not worth $400 million. Like, let the girl live, you know? Like, and Ryan Reynolds' career isn't going to suffer.
Right.
So I think that gives us a good example too. Like, even on that side of things, there's a clear disparity between whoever's at fault for this. And
right. And also, like, just to point out, like, she's not saying, like, nothing can come out about, you know, you can't share your side. She's just saying it, do it in the court of law. And, you know, I see so many people on the internet being like, well, she leaked to the New York Times, blah, blah, blah. But there were like, yes, the New York Times article came out when she filed the complaint within the California board. But prior to that, there were already articles seemingly from Justin's side about what was happening. So if you're going to say, well, she gets to leak and not him, he started it publicly, actually, not her. And then if you want to go even back further, he really started it with the smear campaign and hiring people to, you know, do that. So she's just simply asking to take this to court through, you know, the legal remedies that are already available. She's not saying like, you can't show any of your evidence.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Well, it's kind of sad. And I mean, I feel like it's just like another example that I feel like we do kind of have to talk about, because otherwise if you don't, not everybody examines everything and there's just kind of like a gut check reaction of like, ew, I don't like how that made me feel or whatever. But if we're not like taking the time to examine this from like a societal lens, like I don't necessarily know how much employment law that we work with in small business is going to be affected by the outcomes of these situations. But I do think there are things that we can learn. One of the things that I always tell people is like, sexual harassment you have to literally define what it is. And then you have to have a pathway forward to solve those problems. This is kind of just like exactly what an HR department would do if they were allowed to do it, but it's just on like a very national global scale. So it's like, you have to define what it is before you can decide that it was like overruled. And to me, if I'm looking at this just from an HR lens, the smoking gun is that not everybody had a right to the information that was going to decide what sexual behaviors were allowed to have on set or were allowed to be had on set, because whether or not she showed up for the meeting, it's still the employer's responsibility to make sure that everyone defines it in the same way so that everyone can be protected. And I feel like that was sort of immediately weaponized against her. And it's like, well, it's not her job to define what the rights are of the workers and how to work with each other. So I feel like just like that in and of itself, it's not just that that wasn't done right, but it was also weaponized against her, kind of shows me that they're not doing a very good job. Like,
right. Yeah, exactly.
No one on that set was protected. And then the cast is all on her side too. So yeah. They were the ones that were working there every day. Everyone seems to really like her. She's a little DeLulu and like obviously has like a sarcastic sense of humor that doesn't translate in clips out of context and things like that. She might be a bitch, but that's not the worst thing you can be. So,
right. And none of us are saying like, oh, she's perfect or we love her and that's why we're saying any of this. Like, you can still hate her for her plantation wedding, like, or any other thing that she did.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. Like, we're not excusing any of that. We're just saying that those things are not a reason to say that what she's saying happened didn't happen.
Exactly. You can be a shitty person and be sexually assaulted at work.
Yeah.
That
is not mutually exclusive. Yeah. Yeah.
And Ryan and your husband can be annoying and you can still be sexually assaulted at work.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Well, I'm sure I don't even know how much time has passed. So why don't you just share where everybody can find you? And then everyone make sure that you let me know if you like the episode or if you have any follow-ups, and we'll just kind of keep an eye on things coming through. And if there's any other legal pop culture topics you want to talk about, tell Kelly to come back on and we'll do it again. So tell everyone where to find.
Yes, you can find me on Instagram and Threads at Lawyer Kelly with an I _. And I do try to like keep posting updates about this kind of stuff, definitely on Threads, sometimes on Instagram. Following me there on Threads is your best bet.
Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Thanks for being here, Kelly. We'll have you back soon.
Thanks for having me. Bye.